and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at Eric Talk Astros. You can find the show at Locked On Astros, your team every day. Brett, where can they find you on Twitterverse?
They can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse and at Stros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive, always Stros.
All right, so we got some minor news to talk about. That is right. The Astros have invited an old friend back into the minor league family. We'll talk about that. And the Rule 5 draft is on Thursday. We will be talking about that as well. Will the Astros lose somebody? Will they gain somebody? I don't think anybody knows what's really going on right now, but I do will tell you that if you get a minor league talent, it'll cost you $50,000, and they're cheap. So that's one thing to consider. If you want to go get somebody from bullpen, but at the same time, you'll be taking another roster spot. But there's some people, like I said a few weeks back, there's some minor leaguers in Astros farm system that are basically biting their fingers right now because they don't know how much longer they're going to be on Astros 40-man roster. So we will discuss that, and we'll discuss a lot more. You can get Locked On Astros on the podcast app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. When you get in your car, tell your smart device played podcast Locked On Astros. Today's show is brought to you in part by Belching Beaver Brewery. The brewery was created for a desire to make great beer and have a damn, that's not the bad word, damn, good time. So, Brett, let's talk about the tourist. I mean, the tourist, right? That is the Asheville,
yes, Asheville tourist. The Asheville tourist, that's right. Yeah, so basically Major League Baseball issued invitations to various clubs to be a part of the minor league system, and the Astros finalized their plans with all their clubs, and so the Asheville Tourist will be their Class A advanced affiliate that basically brings them in to join AAA Sugarland, AA Corpus, and Class A Fayetteville as the club's four major league affiliates for 2021. I believe the Astros own the majority ownership in three of the four clubs. I believe they don't own any ownership in the Asheville Tourist. I think the other three they do. They bought Corpus from the Ryans. They own Fayetteville and obviously Sugarland. I don't know if you know this. The president of Sugarland actually has a minority hold with the Crane Investment Group in the Astros. So he's got his hands in both. I guess the writing was kind of on the wall, met that guy a while back. But Asheville has played since the 1800s. The tourist name dates back to 1915, and they've spent the last 26 years the Class A affiliate of the Rockies. And they previously served as the Astros Class A affiliate twice in 1967, Eric, and from 82 to 93 with Hall of Famer, none other than Craig Biggio playing there in 1987. So that's really cool. This is a statement from them that, that Brian McTaggart got from them. And he said, "We are thrilled to receive the invitation from the Houston Astros and to partner with them as part of their organization." President Brian DeWine, "Baseball's return to Asheville is this spring will give us a season we will never forget." So they're looking forward to it. This will be really cool to have them as a part.
You know who played for the tourists back in the day? Mr. Craig Biggio.
Were you not listening?
Nope.
I just said that. I literally
I was trying to look to see if it was official, because I thought that they did will you go out on a date with me type thing. But apparently the other side responded. So I must have missed that other part.
Okay. Hold on. Okay. So folks listening, I thought Eric and I had got past this in our podcasting relationship.
I was trying to clarify something.
Eric.
Yes.
When I'm talking to you, you have to listen. No, okay. See, you weren't making eye contact with me on the Zoom. So I knew you weren't listening. You literally said, "Guess who played for them back in the day?" And I was like, "He's going to say Craig Biggio."
Anyway,
swipe up, dude. Swipe up or swipe left. I don't even know how that stuff works anymore. I've been out of the game for a while.
Me too. I'm back in the game and I got to figure out this whole game again. And when I'm ready
shoot
to get back in the game.
Shoot your shot, brother. Shoot your shot.
All right. So unfortunately, the Round Rock Express will now be going back to the Rangers. And this is something that was kind of expected. It's close to Arlington. And what you're seeing now is you're seeing a lot of teams trying to get their minor league teams closer to them, whether it's the COVID or just trying to save money. But if you look at the Fayetteville and Asheville are about 263 miles apart. So that's an easy ish drive for the minor leaguers. If they get promoted, they could just drive to the next field. They don't have to go from one side of the country to the other side of the country. So that's something they're looking at. And definitely the reason why the Astros are now the AAA, have a AAA team in Sugar Land, obviously is the drive. It's a nice 20-minute drive from Sugar Land to Minute Maid Park, maybe a little bit longer. You got traffic and all that. So everything's kind of working out for the Astros. And it's good to see that a lot of these teams are getting major league talent back, because we still have teams like the Trenton Thunder, I believe, who are still looking to looking for a team or something. I haven't looked at all the teams that got accepted, but this is a big day. And unfortunately for all your Houston livestock show and rodeo people, that was rescheduled to May 4th through 23rd. I know I'm not a big rodeo guy, but why do you think I really enjoyed the rodeo? Because that meant baseball was around the corner.
Oh, okay. There you go. So here's the thing, to go back with the whole minor league thing, you know, the Tri-City Valley Cats that was in the Astros farm system, they didn't receive this is what's happening. Someone's like, well, the Astros didn't even send any like departing words or thank you, or why did the Astros just drop them? What fans have to realize, this is a Major League Baseball decision. A minor league team, in order to stay in business with being in the development system, has to receive a player development license, as Major League Baseball is planning to restructure the minor league system. So the Tri-City Valley Cats did not receive one, like the Trenton Thunder. And so there are a lot of people, and people are like, someone asked me on a Twitter through DM, they're like, is this because of COVID? And I'm like, this was pretty much in the works before this, but COVID sped things up, I think. And it really kind of seems like almost like a necessary thing right now, to be honest. Just financially, it makes more sense for these ball clubs. And it is about the bottom line. I mean, yeah, it is a sport, but it's also a business. And if you can't pay your employees, if you can't pay your players, if you're not getting receipts from gates and tickets aren't being sold in full capacity stadiums, it's going to have a domino effect. So maybe, Eric, this plan that was set in motion by Jeff Luhnow and others with Major League Baseball, maybe they had a little bit of foresight into this was good for baseball financially down the road. Although we still hate to hear minor league clubs or towns losing their team.
All right. I got some great feedback about my top five. If we missed anybody yesterday, let us know. Maybe we'll start doing the top five outfielders they should sign. Maybe the top five relievers they should sign. We got a lot to talk about, but unfortunately it was supposed to be the winter meetings. This was supposed to be the busiest times of the year for us podcasters. Oh, I guess I'm not a podcaster anymore. Me and podcaster.
Yeah, not you. I was like, what?
I'm not a blogger anymore, really. sort of. I'm sure I can get back on with the crawfish boxes if I wanted to. But this was the biggest time of the offseason. This was when all the GMs got to meet. And one of the things that they always use to close the meeting is the Rule 5 draft. Unfortunately, that will not be held in Dallas this year. I'm sure everybody is glad they don't have to go to Dallas this year for the winter meetings. Yeah. But this will be all done, I'm sure, via Zoom or some type of conference call this year. So we'll have to see if the Astros lose somebody or if they gain somebody. I don't know. The roster's at 38. But if you want to just sit there and watch the Rule 5 draft, it probably takes an hour. Maybe you can have a drink or two. So what type of brewery would you recommend?
I would recommend to you Belching Beaver Brewery. Here's the thing. Locked On Astros made this offseason acquisition. We talked about that the other day. We tendered this contract with them. They were created from a desire to make great beer and have a damn good time doing it. So this award-winning craft beer, while also being whimsical and fun to inspire good times to be had by all, I'm giving you three reasons why you should drink with Belching Beaver. Number one, each Belching Beaver beer release carries its own individual style and personality. Two, they make beer for everyone in all palates, from easy drinking blondes, triple IPAs, milk stouts, as well as sours and barrel aged beers. Belching Beaver Brewery has it. In 2019, they expanded to Texas as a part of their partnership with Ambient Distribution Company. They look to expand in 2020 in cities like Austin, San Antonio, Houston, so on and so forth. So good times to you, my friend, and welcome to the Beaver family, Belching Beaver Brewery. You can't go wrong. It's one of the best craft beers on the market.
There's just the name is awesome. I love it. So many different ways you go with that. But yeah, it's a great brewery. I can't wait to try the beer. And the guy came on last time, and we had a great podcast, and so it was pretty cool. So I believe his name is Paul, right?
Yes.
Yes. So I'm excited.
Yes, Paul Valadez. He's actually from Houston, and his dad actually lives in League City where we live. So okay. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. During the podcast, I kept on calling him Valdez, and I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't see the extra A. He's like, I get that all the time. It's fine. So anyway, speaking of not knowing names, will the Astros be adding somebody who we don't know their name? We know a lot of the Astros minor leaguers right now. Which one of those would we be losing? Fortunately for the Astros, they protected the four players they should have protected before the Rule 5 draft. One of those was Forrest Whitley. So I'm sure another team, if they would have left Forrest Whitley unprotected, somebody would have swooped him up, because he is a first round talent. He is good. He's just got a, we talked about him the other day, but there are the four players who are in the top 30 who could be drafted. Do you know who those are?
For the Houston Astros? Yes. Yes. It's Jose Alberto Rivera. A right-handed pitcher, number 14. Number 19, Luis Santana, plays second and third. 29, Ronnie Dawson, outfielder. And number 30, J.J. Majednik, first base and outfield. I really hope I didn't butcher that name. Those are the four. I probably did, but anyway.
He's an Aggie, too. Brandon okay. Del Castillo will come after you for butchering his name.
My bad. Sorry, Brandon. Namaste. So, hey, here's the deal. Here's some interesting just like tidbit or trivial information. When you go back from 1990 until now, the top five Rule 5 like picks that got picked up and they're ranked by career war were Johan Santana, who career war is 50.7, Shane Victorino, 31.2 war, Josh Hamilton, 28.1, Joaquim Soria, 18.6, and Dan Uglas, 17.5. Now, Soria remains the only active player out of that bunch, but you can see by those five from 1990 till now, it's more miss than hit on these things. These are really just throwing caution into the wind. If you aim at nothing, you'll miss, you know, you'll hit it every time. So this is kind of a crapshoot, I guess, yeah, for lack of a better term.
And it also gives players like in Astros farm system that play shortstop or second base or third base a chance to get out of that farm system and maybe go find somebody else. And we've had people on, who was it last year? We had somebody on that was claimed or about to be claimed on a draft.
We had Brandon Bailey.
Okay, maybe that's who I'm thinking of, but it is a stressful time, because especially for somebody like Ronnie Dawson, I was actually, he was on Talking Strohs the day he signed, and literally Brian McTaggart broke the news that he signed, and he was on a podcast with us, so that was pretty cool, and it's surprising that it's so soon, but I believe he was Rule 5 eligible last year too, so it just shows how time flies, and Ronnie Dawson, I think this kid will be given a shot, but with the Astros, you don't want to have to rely on somebody like Ronnie Dawson. You want him to come out and impress you and force his way onto the roster, not as a backup option. So will somebody come up and pick him? I'm not sure. They could have picked him last year, but The guy who we both were talking about before the show, who could be possibly picked, is the Jose Alberto Rivera. But I just, he was class A. I think it's going to be a hard jump from class A ball to major leagues. And so I think that people may pass on him. I don't know too much about him. We need to get Astros feature on here. His fastball has a curve as has a rating of 70. That's pretty good. His changeup is 55, sliders are 50, and his overall control is a 45. And so like a lot of the Astros farm system, you've got the control as the issue. And so that's why Brent Strom does such a good job. He kind of gets them to work on that. But this is a guy who's 23 years old. He was born the same year I was graduating high school. Wow. That shows how old I am. But but like I said, to start the show, these are cheap talent. This is, like you said, a crapshoot. You're not looking for a star. You're looking for like a Marwin Gonzalez. I know Marwin Gonzalez was technically not a Rule 5 draft, but he was traded to the Astros after a Rule 5 or something. I forgot what happened, but
so it's basically that type of player. So basically what they do is they pay $100,000 to select a player in the major league phase of the Rule 5 draft. Then if that player doesn't stay on the 26-man roster for the full season, he must be offered back to his former team for $50,000. So you stand to lose 50 grand. You know, Eric, that brings me back, and that's a sentimental podcast because that was one of the first podcasts I helped you with that you had me come on Talking Strohs and we talked to Ronnie Dawson, right? If I'm not mistaken. I know, I remember you had me come on and help guest host.
I don't think it was Ronnie Dawson. That was with Brandon. Are you sure? For sure. Yes. We may have talked to Ronnie Dawson.
Okay. But maybe we talked to, because isn't he the guy that was at home when he got drafted and he went and told like he was in his room or whatever. He was at home and he basically went down and told his parents, "Hey, I just got drafted."
I know for a fact that he was not drafted in 2017, and that's when we really started. We met for the first time was in 2017 after.
Sorry. Maybe I'm just trying to get nostalgic here. I thought he was the player. He was the player.
We may have talked to him, and you can go back and look. We can go back and look and talk.
Maybe he talked about getting drafted. I don't know. Yeah, I'll have to go look.
He was drafted in 2016. So I don't think I knew you. I knew of you. I just didn't know you at the time.
Yeah, you were like, man, there's this legendary dude named Brett Chansey. And one day he'll be named H-Town Wheelhouse. And one day, maybe I digress. Never mind. Maybe you didn't. Hey, let's talk about something more important, not me. The Astros, Eric, are number 15. They have 38 players on their 40-man roster. What are the chances at 15 that they pick up anybody decent, or is this kind of like, they're 15th, all the good players are going to be gone in the top 14? There's only really 17 names that are notable here.
If there's a intriguing outfielder out there, I can see them taking a chance, but at the same time, they have some good options as like backups or as fourth outfielders in Ronnie Dawson. I think that Chaz McCormick is an intriguing option. I'm not totally sold on Miles Straw, and forgive me for that, but I need to see him in a full season and him get some more playing time. But yeah, they have, there's some intriguing players out there. I know you're talking about a few players. That's an awesome name. Lake Barkar with the Padres. Paul Campbell with the Rays, then Brett De Heus, or I don't know how to say it. I'm terrible at names. If you haven't known that by now,
hey, I'm just letting you fall on the sword.
There's some interesting names out there, definitely on the pitching side. I think that's where the Astros would go, but I think that they're gonna save those roster spots for the Brad Hands or the Archie Bradley's, that type of things, and they definitely need an outfielder. That does not mean that they can't get designate somebody for assignment or get somebody off the 40-man roster down the road. But I just, if for a team that wants to win, I don't think they're going to have a back of the bullpen type of pitcher, especially after last year, because we had so many different pitchers make their debuts. True. So we'll have to see. I will be very surprised if they do add somebody, but I'm not saying they won't, and we'll see what James Click can do. But if there's a guy there that you can't pass, then the Astros have got to do it.
Yeah. I mean, I would just love to see us get a player like this Brett DeGoss or whatever his name is, from the Dodgers, just because he's a Dodger. You know, we got Alvarez from them. It would be cool to see Parker Dungey or Brian Howard from the Athletics turn into something. They're both relief pitchers. I would just love to see us get someone from a club that we have some major tension with. There's even a kid on here, Eric, that's with the Yankees, Garrett Whitlock. He comes in at number 16. And he's got a pretty good arsenal. He's got a big frame. But I don't know what's going to happen with him. There are some different things on him. But he's kind of a back end starter, but he's also done a lot of relief pitching. And so who knows, like you said, guys, the Astros analytic department, James Click and the crew, I'm sure have done their homework, and I'm sure there's guys that they're looking at and guys that they're definitely not looking at. So we'll just have to see.
We didn't talk about this last time, but Lance Lynn was traded to the White Sox, and the Rangers got a pretty darn good pitcher in return. And I think his name's Mike Dunning or something like that. He was one of the White Sox top pitching prospects. And that's a pretty good deal for somebody who's he's not over the hill, but he had a great season last year, except against the Astros. But unfortunately, we won't be able to face them as much. And I wonder how regular the schedule will be next year. Are we going to still only face the West competition, or are they going to, is it going to be full season? Have they announced a season yet? I don't even
know. No, I mean, you know, I think they've obviously sold tickets and everything, and they got people that have season tickets. The guy's name is Dane Dunning. He's a right-handed pitcher.
Yeah. So he's number three on the Rangers list now.
Yeah. So he was their 5 prospect. Now he's a Rangers 3rd prospect. So, hey, there you go. Good job, Rangers. I mean, you got a crappy new stadium that you'll never play World Series in, but you got a really good draft pick. Excellent job. The season, sorry, I have no love for the Rangers. I still remember 2017 when they rejected our offer to play in their stadium. Bunch of jerks. Let's see, schedule right here. I'm looking. I mean, right now, the 2021 regular season schedule is out, dude. What does it say? Okay. Is it the same thing? Well, hold on. I'm looking. I'm pulling it up. Oh, no, there are no games scheduled for this. Wait, hold on. That is not
you have what to. I'm looking for.
Yes, I know. I have to. Okay, yeah. I mean, it shows. We will be in Oakland, the home opener. Yeah. So it is, I mean, April 1st, April Fool's Day, which is ironic. They'll be in Oakland. So they start on the road. And then the Astros home opener is a week later on the 8th. They got a heavy dose of the Angels and Athletics. And guess what? We get to see AJ Hinch if things go according to plan, April 12th, 13th, and 14th. AJ Hinch returns. Does he get rained down with boos or cheers or both?
I think people in Houston love the AJ Hinch, so I think that they know it wasn't his fault and all that, and so I think they're gonna be cool with him. Once Carlos Beltran comes to town, I'm not so sure. Once Alex Cora comes to town, I'm not so sure.
Wait, is Beltran rehired?
I don't know.
Hey, I have a question about this about AJ Hinch. Do they do a tribute to AJ Hinch and include the 2017 World Series?
The Astros? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
I don't know.
I think they should.
They should. I don't
I think
know.
They if they should will. Play his, I think they should play his locker room speech. He's like, y'all are some awesome MFers. Like,
alrighty. With that is the end of this episode of the Locked On Astros podcast. And we will be back on Friday to talk about who the Astros drafted or lost in the Rule 5 draft. And until then, we will see you tomorrow.